Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Day to our friends around the world. We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. We got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead. You know, one of my favorite things to do in the whole world is to introduce you to other small business owners, people out who are out there doing what you're doing. They're making payroll every Friday. They're following their dreams. They're doing the same things that you're doing. They've got the same concerns, the same worries, the same things that they're excited about, the same dreams. They've got competitors. They've got lots of different competitors, just like you and I do. Lots of things going on. But sometimes there are, around the country every year, there are a few folks who get recognized. And they get recognized with a little extra recognition in terms of what they've accomplished, and they're recognized by the chambers of commerce. Many of you listening out there right now have been, this has happened to you. Either your industry has recognized you, the chamber of commerce has recognized you, some organization, some local organization, then it rolls up to the state level. Then it rolls up to the national level. And that's what happens in a number of organizations, especially the SBA, the Small Business Administration. And as you know, for a number of years now, I've been working with the SBA. Actually, we're in our ninth year now of working with the SBA on small business issues, and recognizing their small business owners that they have identified as some of the best in the country. And so we've been doing this for a long time. And so every year, especially around Small Business Week, sometime just before, sometimes and many times for a long time afterwards, after Small Business Week, we will be interviewing some of the top small businesses in the country. And we're going to be doing that today. We're working on getting Steve Moore and Mark McGrath on the phone. I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulty making that happen, but we are working on that. And what you find, one of the things that I've seen over the years, time and time again, is that the things that these owners talk about, the things that they say that have made them successful, the things that have made their company be worthy of being recognized, it's amazing how similar they are, how many times the answers that they give to the questions are very similar. And typically it's this, it's that they give back to their community. And this is after they've been successful. After they've learned how to be successful, one of the things that they've done to keep going is they give back to their communities. That's one of the things that's always the case. Another thing that's always the case is the way they think about their people, the way they pay their people, the way they compensate them, the way they provide benefits for them, the way they think about them. They think about them like their family. And I bet you do, too, in your small business. I know that you do, because I've seen so many of you, so many small businesses over the years, and I know how you feel about your employees. They're like family. In fact, much of the week, you spend more time with them than you do with your family. So they just about have to be, don't they? And they talk about these things. They talk about about ethics. They talk about vision, about the vision that they have for the company, and trying to hire good people, find good people who have the same kind of vision that they have. But they didn't talk about hiring people who were just like them. They talk about people who could bring diverse brain power, diverse attitudes and approaches to business, different personalities for different jobs. They talk about all of those things. And we're going to see if Steve Moore and Mark McGrath agree with me about that. Steve, are you there? Are you there, Steve?
Yes.
I'm hearing you now. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Very good.
Good. Is Mark, are you there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mark?
Just fine.
Congratulations on winning the being recognized as one of the top small business people in the country.
Thank you.
Now, you guys are in Maryland, right?
Yes.
Tell us about your company.
Chesapeake Plastics is an employee buyout. Our previous employer retired 3 years ago. Mark and I put our resumes out. Basically, nobody was hiring at the time. So we bought the equipment, hired the remaining employees, and set up shop about 15 miles south of where the original building was.
So you were working for a company doing exactly what you're doing now. The guy basically, he sold the business, or he just closed it up?
He closed it up.
Well, was there so little opportunity nobody would buy it?
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys felt there was more opportunity there than he saw, and you picked up the remains of the Phoenix out of the ashes and rose it up there, I guess, didn't you?
Yeah, basically, I mean, working for the gentleman, we could see things that we would have liked to have done but couldn't do that, given the opportunity, actually did prove beneficial.
Right. Give us an idea about what some of those things were. One of the things, guys, that I see a lot is are companies that just can't cut loose from the 20th century.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we describe it.
It was very old school where we were, very labor intensive, and we're exact opposite. We prefer to go after new technology. We just can't compete having the heavy employee labor thing going on.
The ratio was too heavy. One of the things that I tell people all the time, and I'll see if you guys agree with me, is that in the 20th century, you hired people and you outfitted them with tools. Today, you got to buy the technology and outfit the technology with people. What do you think?
I would agree with that.
Otherwise, you can't be competitive, can you?
Yeah, all of our the old school way of it was you would have dedicated operators. All they would do is wait for the machine to start running, and then they would come over there and just pick parts, and that's all they would do.
And you would basically have one operator at each machine.
Right.
Whereas we have work centers where there's five machines and one operator. They're not working, I don't think, any harder. It's just a little smarter.
Well, instead of being workers, they're now more managers, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. The same person that operates the machine also sets it up, turns it on, starts processing it, can troubleshoot it.
Yeah,
they can also ship the parts, take orders.
And they
they're not working with a machine. They're managing that machine, and that makes a lot of difference. Guys, hang on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come right back and talk some more with Steve Moore and Mark McGrath. They're the co-owners of Chesapeake Plastics Manufacturing Company, and they're one of the top small business companies in the country. Stay with us, 20F. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with one of the nation's top small business owners in the world, two of them, I should say, they're co-owners of the same company, Chesapeake Plastics Manufacturing, Steve Moore and Mark McGrath. And guys, we had an opportunity to share a meal together. We sat across the table from each other at one of the meals in Washington, D.C. about a month or so ago. And again, I want to congratulate you. I'm very proud of you two and what you've accomplished in really just a short time.
Thank you.
Steve, tell us about what have been the biggest challenges you guys have faced since you started your company.
I would say adopting technology. And that probably the biggest thing was, after working for a previous employer, was second-guessing ourselves in the beginning. Not being sure if the ideas that we had were actually going to work or not,
mm-hmm.
Almost to the point to where you thought some ghost was going to come through the wall and tell you, no, it won't work. And there was almost a point to where Mark and I looked at each other and just kind of said, what are we doing? We own the machinery now. If we do something that doesn't work and it breaks, well, it's our fault. And thankfully, nothing is broken, and everything that we've tried has worked.
You know, Mark, there's an attitude in golf where, you know, you look at your lie, you get the yardage, you look at the wind, you choose the club, you make a decision, and you commit to the shot.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't commit to the shot, all the other planning isn't any good. Mark, is that kind of how it was for you guys?
Yeah, basically.
You just need to commit to your and have faith in yourself.
Yeah.
Now, the you guys are in manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you listen to Lou Dobbs, you listen to other people around the country, they would tell you that manufacturing in America is dying. What do you guys think?
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, if you don't adopt, you know, new technology, but what happened to us? We was very hard to compete with the overseas. We read a study where, you know, people in China make 29 cents an hour and healthcare and everything subsidized.
Right.
Where here we have to pay, we have, our employees are mostly single moms, and we have
all
to get them a living wage.
And say that again?
Pardon me?
All of your employees are what?
Pretty much single moms.
Is that right?
And they all own their own homes. We pay them a living wage.
Right.
And the insurances. And that's hard to compete overseas, and we actually lost a couple of jobs that nobody could do with it. Nobody could come up with the molding and tooling. So we.
But you weren't supposed to do that work. You're supposed to let somebody else do that work. You're supposed to do the jobs, and this is what you've learned, isn't it? That you're supposed to do the jobs that fit your business model.
Yeah. What's happened is there's been a huge consolidation in the industry. We're still getting on a weekly basis auctions for injection molding houses that are going up for sale. And along with the automotive industry and the hit that they've taken, multiple injection molding outfits are now going up for sale.
Yeah.
So the jobs that were available out there aren't as plentiful anymore. The idea of being a niche molder is kind of out the door now.
How are you guys going to survive?
One of the things we did was from all of our startup costs were paid off within the first 2 years. And Mark and I were looking at each other, and we were figuring on just upgrading the current machinery that we have. We've got a few older pieces of equipment. And we kind of said, well, rather than do that, let's kind of look at what's available out there as far as tooling and getting stuff to market quicker.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a show in New York and bought some rapid tooling equipment out of Germany. There's only two of them in the United States. We're the ones that own the second one that's been sent in here. And basically, as Mark had said, what took, you know, 2 to 3 months to make a tool, we can do in about 14 to 21 days now.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we not only go head-to-head with overseas, we now beat them.
Yeah.
Well, and see, that's because you're thinking you're competing in the 21st market century marketplace with 21st century strategies.
Yep.
You can't have
a lot of people said, you know, you're investing way too much, and you know, you're insane. Luckily, our banker didn't think so. But
well, okay. The now tell us about the tell us about your employees. What kind of benefits do you provide them?
Like I said, we provide them a living wage.
What does that mean?
We don't do minimum wage.
What do you mean by that?
In other words, our employees do not start at like minimum wage.
Right.
I don't think any of them. They're all making the around $25,000-$30,000 range to start.
Right.
They all get.
That's about $10 an hour or so. $10-$12, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they all get medical insurance, life insurance, dental insurance.
How many employees do you have?
There's a total of 7 of us, and that includes Stephen and myself.
So from a company that was going out of business, folks, these guys resurrected it, and now there were 7 jobs. I hope you guys are getting a paycheck, and if you're not, I hope you get one soon. Give us your website, please, before we go. Mark, give us your website.
What's that?
Give us your website, please.
www.ChesapeakePlastics.com.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Steve Moore, Mark McGrath, the co-owners of Chesapeake Plastics Manufacturing. Thanks, guys. Good job. Congratulations on being recognized as Maryland's best. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Ray Keating right after these messages. I'm Jeb Blasting Game. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.